We stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, today we're continuing our sermon series about technology, about how we engage in this new world where technology is changing things pretty quickly, serving as the catalyst for change that was already going to happen, but now it's happening faster. And what we're trying to do is think about how we as Christians engage and connect in this community. And we're using our CTS mission statement, our mutually agreed upon purpose, our scripturally sound purpose that we all have together, reaching up, in, and out. And last week we talked about reaching up, our relationship with God. We talked about it first because it is most important. Everything starts there. Everything comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. And last week we talked a lot about idolatry, how technology can sometimes be an idol in itself, but more often it provides a quicker avenue to things that take God's place in our life, to things that usurp his role as our primary means of identity, security, and meaning. We talked about how that foundation, it must be Jesus Christ. Now this week, we're moving on to the next part of our mission statement, reaching in. We're talking about how we connect with one another, how we build community in this world that around us is changing so quickly. And to be honest, I struggled with this one. And I struggled because there's too much to talk about. Community has changed, or technology has changed community. It has changed the way we communicate so much, so fast, that there are too many things to talk about. We could talk about social media and the good and the bad there. We could talk about the psychological effects of screen time. We could talk about so many different things. And I honestly am not wise enough to choose which one is going to be talked about in this short time today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to let God's word speak. We're going to take one of the passages from Scripture that deals most with community, that dealt with community back when it was written, and still speaks timeless truths to us today as we strive to build community. And we're going to let those words, God's words, speak to us, and we're going to do our best to apply them to our world today. So this text is Colossians chapter 3, St. Paul talking about Christian community. And St. Paul, he starts very much like we started this sermon series. He starts with our relationship with Jesus. Verse 1 says this, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is." He starts with what's most important. He starts with our relationship with Jesus Christ. He proclaims clearly, we have been raised with Jesus Christ. Now, what that means is so important to everything else in our lives. What that means is that our sin, the stain upon ourselves, the stain upon humanity, it was taken upon his shoulders when he went to that cross, when he put it to death with him, and then he was raised again, and along with him, we are raised to newness of life, to an unblemished image that puts us back in connection with our Father in heaven, that allows us to be called children of God, that allows us to have all the earthly blessings God and his word have to offer, but more importantly, allows us to be heirs of his inheritance, eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ, eternal bliss. That is what we have coming. That is what being raised with Christ means. He has taken the old sinful self and he has put it to death and he has raised us to something new, something better, something that we could have never been on our own. And praise be to God for that. Paul starts with this because we have to have that first. That has to be our foundation. But even in this first verse, he doesn't leave it as that. He says we have been raised with Christ and then there is a call to action. Now seek the things that are above. What Paul is saying here is, we have been raised with Christ, so now go and act like it. It's a challenge. It's a call to action. Let your conduct, your thoughts, your words, let them be fitting of who Christ has made you. Our relationship with Jesus, it informs our relationships with one another. Our relationship with Jesus, it tells us how we are to live in community. It tells us how we are to build community. It tells us how we are supposed to reach in to one another. And Paul, he spends the rest of this chapter dealing with that, dealing with how what Christ has made us changes how we live in community together. Verse 2 says this, "So set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." The things that are on earth are what we used to set our minds on. But Christ, he paid for that, and now we set our things on things that are above, things that are in him. And Paul gets more specific. He tells us exactly what those things we are putting away are. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, coveting, which is idolatry. In these you once walked, but no longer." In verse 8 and 9, he gets even more specific. "But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices." This is what we are called to do as new creations in Christ, to put off that old self, to put away all these natural desires and inclinations of the human heart, to put them away and strive for something greater, something higher, something more important. Paul, he makes it pretty clear. This is the old self, and these are the things we are putting off. These are the things we are removing from our lives. Now take a look at this list. Sexual immorality and coveting and anger, malice, slander, lies, obscene talk. Every single one of these has to do with living in community. Paul starts by talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ, what he did for us, and then he tells us what we are putting off, and every single thing has to do with community. You see, these are the things that poison a community. These are the things that tear community apart, and that is why our God tells us to get rid of them, to take the newness Christ has given us and to live in that rather than the things we are born into. And now here's the question, because it's a technology sermon series and I haven't mentioned technology in a couple minutes. Does your use of technology help you to put these things away? Or does your use of technology allow these things to rear their ugly head? Now, you may have seen it before, but there's a, I guess it's a meme, I don't know. It's circulating the web, and it's the seven deadly sins of social media. And it's those old Catholic seven deadly sins, gluttony and sloth and wrath and the other four. And equates each one to a social media or a web-based platform. Now, we don't have to use that, because we can use these things and these sins, these old self things that Paul gives us. So let's do it. How often are these social media sites, these web-based platforms, how often do they allow these old self things to come out? And now maybe you're one of those among us who doesn't know what these are. And that's okay. It's probably good. But don't tune out this message, because God's word for us in Colossians chapter 3, it's timeless. And these sins, they can be present in the church lobby as often as they are on Facebook. But for those of us who do know what these are, who use these, or one of them, or all of them, let's think about it. How easy is it to be sexually immoral on Tinder or Snapchat or one of the thousands of other sites that aren't quite as measured in hiding what they're really about? How easy is it to be sexually immoral in this tech-driven age? What about coveting? How easy is it to covet when you're on Instagram or Facebook or Pinterest? How easy is it to want what God has given someone else? How easy is it to not be content with what you have been given and what you have been called to? What about anger and slander and obscene talk? Twitter's king there, but those things are present on every one of these platforms. And what about lies, from the small, seemingly harmless ones to the bigger, society-changing lies? How prevalent are they on every one of these places? How easy is it when you're online when you're on social media, when you're connected in this way, how easy is it to let the old self come out? How easy is it to be your old self when you're online? How easy is it to forget that Christ has made you new? How easy is it to forget his role in your life? See, going back to our text today, we have a higher calling, a higher purpose. It is to put these old things away and to bring out the new. Verse 10 says, put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That is our calling. Our calling, well, forgiven, is to become more like Jesus, to be conformed to his image, to be more like him and what he did for us. And Paul, he makes it pretty clear for us. He sets it out specifically. Verse 12 through 13, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. These are the things we are called to. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and forgiveness. Now again, take a look at this list. These things we are called to in the new self, they have everything to do with Christian community. Everything to do with building each other up, with building trust, with creating a foundation for believers to join around. The old self, it tears down. The new self, it binds together. And as we talk about technology, sometimes these things are present online. Sometimes they're present on social media. But the question we have to ask ourselves is how often? And are we using those things in the right way? You see, what's interesting is most social media platforms actually have a mission statement that has to do with community. Let's take a look at a few of them. Twitter's mission statement is to give everyone the power to create and share ideas and information instantly and without barriers. Instagram's mission statement is to allow you to experience moments in your friends' lives through pictures as they happen. And Facebook, to give people the power to build community and bring the world closer together. At least on the outside, these companies are all about community. But here's the thing. The world has a different understanding of how to build real community. The world does not always get it right. The real way to build community is based on God's word, those new self principles Paul just gave us. And here's the thing. Twitter's about community, but how often do you find patience on Twitter? Instagram, it's all about sharing ideas, bringing people together. But how often do you find humility and meekness on Instagram? Facebook is about building community, but there is very little forgiveness there. There's only one platform on which real community is built, and that is Jesus Christ and the things he has for us. Now, I mentioned Jesus' prayer this morning. And I should have put it on a slide, but I forgot to. But in John chapter 17, Jesus, he says this, at praying to the Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. You see, as Christians, we are not called to separate ourselves from the rest of the world. What we are called to do is to not be of the world, to not value the same things, to recognize the evil and use God's help to keep us away from it. And that's what we're striving to do when it comes to social media, when it comes to technology. Because there is evil there. There are great dangers that technology present to the Christian community. And I've got a list of three for you, and it is by no means an exhaustive list, but it's the three we're going to talk about today. The first danger is a mask. How often is social media or technology a way where we mask how we really are? How often can we hide our true feelings behind happy posts, behind the highlights of our lives, behind emojis? How hard is it to truly know how your close friends are? How hard is it to know how the members of your church actually are? Sometimes it's because people do a great job of hiding it. Sometimes it's because we're too far removed to really know or ask. But Paul, in these new self things, The first two are kindness and compassion. It's really hard to express compassion when it's needed, when you don't know how people are. So please talk to people. Don't assume they're okay just because they just had a great vacation with beautiful pictures. Don't assume they're okay because they just got a new car. Don't assume they're okay just because they have a really cute dog or cat. Talk to people. Social media is a place for highlights, but it very often does not tell the whole story. Okay, number two. A perceived lack of accountability. And I say perceived because it's only perceived. For whatever reason, people feel less accountable for their actions and words online. And it's funny because in only one of those places is it saved forever. But still, people will say things online that they wouldn't say in person. They will have arguments and conversations that they wouldn't have in person. They will slander. They will tell lies. They will get obscene in ways that they would not do in person. And all of these things do untold damage to community, especially Christian community. I've got an example of this. I've actually got a bunch of examples, but one that was last week and is fresh in my mind. I was scrolling through my Facebook newsfeed, wasting time, and a Facebook friend of mine, an acquaintance from college, he had posted, and his post was a response to someone else's post, another gentleman who was a member of his church. And he was upset at this gentleman because he had posted what this Facebook friend of mine thought was offensive and hateful posts. What he was doing was posting politically, as so many people like to do, and a comment about a political leader that was not exactly friendly. Maybe true, maybe not, you know. I didn't do the work to actually fact check it. But what this Facebook friend of mine had decided to do was that he was so upset by this man's perceived bigotry and hate and antithetical behavior to the Christian faith that from now on, whenever he or someone else posted something he perceived as hateful, he was going to reshare it, post it. He was going to share it. He was going to put his name on it and make sure everybody who he was connected with knew how hateful that person was. This was a member of his church. He answered what he perceived as bigotry with more bigotry. Hate answered with more hate. And this is not an uncommon thing. Things like this happen constantly. The first gentleman, he didn't check his facts. He didn't think about what he posted and how it would be perceived. He didn't allow the chance for conversation to happen, for context. And he just posted it, and you saw how it was reacted to. The other gentleman, the Facebook friend, he saw it, perceived it as hateful, and decided to act hatefully in return and essentially sever that relationship if there ever was one, but to create cracks in the Christian community. And I promise, there was no good that came from this interaction. There were no opinions changed. There were no conversations had, only further cracks in the Christian community. So here's the question. Do you ever become a different person online? Do you ever let that perceived lack of accountability change your behavior? Please think about what you post online. Think about how it will be perceived. Think about the witness it might give. Don't say something you wouldn't say in person. Don't disrespect an individual. Please respect people in the way that Christ would respect them. It doesn't mean you have to agree, but respect is a calling card of the Christian faith. And there are problems in this world. There are conversations that need to be had. And occasionally, they can happen productively and respectfully on online platforms. But not very often. Be careful what you say when you can't give someone the respect of eye contact, or the respect of a handshake, or the respect of time for them to share as you listen as well. Okay, enough of that. I could talk about that all day. Number three, it's simple, but it's true. A danger that technology presents is simply not being in community. We live in a very convenient world. Netflix and Amazon Prime and Uber Eats and HelloFresh make it really easy to stay in on Friday night. They make it really easy to stay in on Sunday morning. Don't miss out on life. Don't miss out on being in community. Don't let the convenience of technology pull you away from your community of believers. You can't replace it. You were built to be in community. Faith in its very essence is fundamentally communal. It can't happen alone. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants more than anything to pull us off by ourselves so he can work on us alone rather than together. Don't let technology pull you away. Now, what I'm saying about technology, social media in particular, I'm not saying you have to get off of it. I'm not saying you can't use it. It does, in fact, have a lot of good uses and applications. You'll find me using a couple of those sites regularly. But what I am saying is you need to be honest with yourself. You need to ask yourself the question, is my use of technology making me more like the old self or the new self? Is it helping me build community, or is it dragging me away or tearing it down? Maybe that answer means you have to limit your exposure. Maybe that answer means you have to take yourself out of one of these platforms that is especially toxic to your life, or that leads you further away from community than it should. These are powerful things we are dealing with, and we must maintain control over them lest they control us. And last point on that. Parents, please manage your kids' social media use. Just like we wouldn't give someone who wasn't ready for it a car or allow them to use alcohol, these things that are powerful and dangerous must be managed. And social media, it has power and it has freedom, and there is brokenness there and there is addiction there. And it's hard enough for an adult to manage it well. It's hard enough for an adult to use it in a way that is good for us, that pulls us towards that new self rather than that old self. So please, protect your kids. Don't let the most vulnerable among us be broken by these things that are so tied up in what the world has to say and what the world is doing. Make sure your kids' Christian community comes before their social media use. And here's a stat on that. They did the research, and our youth have the same amount of screen time in a single day as the equivalent of 2 months of youth group. In one day, that screen molds them as much as 2 months of youth group. Make sure our kids are being molded by the right things. Now, as I say that, we adults need to be paying attention to it too, making sure we are molded by the right things, making sure Christ and his word is what is molding us rather than everything else we are being engaged by. Our foundation, it is those new self principles, kindness and compassion, forgiveness, patience. These are the things we do to build real community. These are the foundational principles. But you know, they're really important, but they're not the most important. They're not the most important thing to our effort to build community. What is most important is what is listed last from Paul in Colossians chapter 3. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love. That is what holds things together. That is the reason we are patient. It is the reason we forgive. It is the reason we show compassion and kindness. It is the reason we are humble. This is how you build Christian community. You put on love. And here's the thing about this. I could take that statement in a survey outside, and you'd probably get 100% of people who would agree with it. But we need to understand love in the right context. Love is not, as the world says it, simple affection or simple acceptance. Love is as Christ defines it. It's his love, a love characterized by patience and sacrifice and forgiveness. That is the kind of love we are called to put on. That is the kind of love we are called to share with each other. Patience with each other because Christ was patient and still is patient with us. Forgiveness for each other. Sacrifice for each other. Sacrifice of some of the convenience technology provides in order to be in community. So forgive each other. Don't let someone's words to you, either online or in person, effectively end that relationship. Don't let someone's opinions or political beliefs Define them. Throw off the old self. Don't let grudges linger. Don't talk behind someone's back. Don't hide behind messages that you feel less than accountable for. Don't hide behind happy posts that hide how you truly are. Instead, live in community. Live in the new self that Jesus Christ has provided through his love. Seek resolutions with others. Seek to be forgiven. Seek to forgive. Seek to listen before you talk. Seek to give compassion where it is needed. Seek to live in community with the people of God, that community he gave you, that community he designed for you, that community he prayed that you would have. And here's the thing. I hate to say it, but those people who you're designed to be in community with, they're not perfect. Just like we are not perfect, but we'll love them anyway because Christ loved us. We will forgive them anyway because Christ has forgiven us so much. We will live in the newness he provides us. And going back to John chapter 17, Jesus was praying that prayer before his own death. Yet he was still concerned with us being one. It was that important to him. And then he went to the cross to take our sin with him, that we may be raised with him in newness of life, that he may lavish grace upon us, that that community may even be possible. Live in that grace. Whether online or in person or at church, put on the love of Christ, the love that binds everything together in perfect harmony, his way. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds unto life everlasting. Amen.